This is week number 3, class number 2 on healing. Now, we had just paraphrased, amplified one way. It was one way. I mean, you could do it different ways. Romans 8:11. And again, let's read that leading into what we want to cover. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then the same life that God used to raise Jesus from the dead, which is His very own life and nature, now dwells in you. The power of that life is what raised Jesus from the dead, and it is by that same power that life is released to your earthly body. Now, let's take a look here at this next section where it says, reconciling, healing, and affliction. Now, I'll stop right here for a moment and think about this. It's a hard thing sometimes to hear a message about healing or take a class on healing when there's so much sickness and disease in the body of Christ. Because if you sit around and you just think about it, it seems like, well, if healing is God's will and all this other, then we ought to all be healed. And when that doesn't happen, many times people start throwing these accusations out. How that, well, you know, it wasn't God's timing, or, you know, all this other junk that's out there. At the risk of sounding like a broken record, go to the Word and pray in tongues. Because when you hear these kinds of doctrines, you have to be able to substantiate them with the Word of God. And quite frankly, there are a lot of Christians, man, I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but there are a lot of Christians that have died because a lot of other Christians around them had no clue as to what was available. And, you know, there's no need to go back into our past and dig around and find out all the sick people that we can find who ended up with all kinds of problems because we didn't know what to do or whatever. I mean, you just put yourself on an emotional roller coaster if you start doing that. But what we can do is start at this point and go forward with what we're learning and make changes from this point on. Now, reconciling healing and affliction. Original sin, which is Adam's, is what released death. Death has produced corruption to natural things, which obviously includes our bodies. Corruption produces sickness and infirmities. Now, real briefly, sickness, self-explanatory. The word infirmity, I want you to think in terms of a body that is defective, like a birth defect or a deformity, something like that. All right, that's what I'm using this word infirmity to refer to. So sickness is one thing. Infirmity is like an outward physical. You can see something wrong. All people are born with a sin nature inherited from Adam. We've already gone over this. It's covered there in Romans, you know, how it's been passed on to all men. The sin nature is a nature of death. The sin nature has no life and can produce no life. When we are born again, we receive a new nature, which is the life of God. The life of God is more powerful than any sickness, birth defect, infirmity, disease, affliction, anything, on and on. The life of God is more powerful than that. Divine healing could be defined as the life of God being released through us from our born-again spirit to any area of our body that needs restoration. And this right here is the answer to healing. If you understand what I have just shared with you, then you can begin to understand what divine healing is all about. Now, here is, see if what I'm about to say fits the image that a lot of people seem to have as far as divine healing is concerned. Oh, Father, reach down from heaven and touch so-and-so's body so they will be healed. Now, doesn't that kind of summarize maybe the concept of healing? We're praying and asking God in heaven to do something from heaven that has not been done so that a condition will be changed that's creating discomfort, whatever that condition would be. Now let's look at this from God's perspective. Death is the last enemy to be defeated. If death is the last enemy to be defeated, that means sickness and disease, from God's perspective now, has already been beaten. how is anything beaten in this world? It's beaten by the power of God's life. Your sin nature. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, the power of God's life, go back and reread Romans 6, Romans 8. The power of God's life was released to you, and there was a regeneration or a rebirthing that took place. You were born again. The old man, sin nature, removed. In its place is given to you a born-again spirit, a new nature. Now, that has come from God. God can only give you what He has, which is, I would assume, quite a bit, wouldn't you? If God gives you His life, then what is it that you have on the inside of you? It is life. Healing is the power of that life being released against something that's wrong in your body and correcting that wrong something, regardless of what it is. I mean, anything from a common cold to a disease where the doctors say you've got 2 weeks. It doesn't matter what it is. Anything that fits in the category of sickness, disease, and affliction, infirmity, any of that. The power of God's life is greater than that. Now see, this is where a lot of people get tripped up. If you don't believe that the power of God's life is greater than the power of any sickness, disease, infirmity, or affliction, if you don't believe that, how in the world can you believe that there will be a manifestation of healing? Do you see what I'm saying? What is it that God uses to heal people? When we're praying, oh God, heal, what are we asking Him to do? That's, see, most people don't know. We don't know what healing is. In our minds, we've been trained so much by society to think in terms of go to the doctor, get medicine, and be healed. So we go to God and we say, God, I want you to heal Mom. I want you to heal Uncle Joe, whatever the case would be. Have you ever stopped to think about what you're really asking God to do? What are you asking Him to do? How does He administer healing? What does He use? Heavenly aspirin? What does He use? A Holy Ghost Band-Aid? What does He use? He uses the anointing. And the anointing is spiritual Vaseline, Brother Martin. What does He use? What does He use? See, right now I can tell by some of the looks, you have never thought about this ever. Some of you. You never really thought about that. What is it that heals? It's the life of God. It's His life. Sickness and disease can't remain in the presence of His life. If you believe otherwise, then what you're saying is the result of what Adam did, sin, death, corruption, is more powerful than the very life of God. If that's the case, how did you ever get born again? Now see, this really needs to sink in. Because when people go to like a Benny Hinn meeting or an Oral Roberts meeting or whoever it would be to try and get in the healing line, people really don't stop and think about what is it that's going on. Well, they're administering healing. All right, well, what is that? What is healing? See, we've already learned that sickness and disease is a form of accelerated corruption in the human body. It accelerates the deterioration process. And if it's not stopped somehow, and thank God for medical science that's figured out how to stop some of this, if it's not stopped somehow, you die. Very simple. It accelerates the deterioration to the point that you die. Healing, now we're not talking about the medical part of it just yet. We'll get into that next week. Healing, when you're talking about divine healing, is the divine life of God released against something that has created a wrong condition in your body. So when we begin to understand that it's the life of God that reverses this or changes this, and then you begin to understand that when you got born again, you received the life of God. In you is all the healing power that you could ever expect because you got born again. The power of your new life is the power of healing. Oh, but Brother Martin, I just don't understand that. All right, then let me ask you something. Let's go. Every now and then I use the desert island thing. You're on a desert island. It's just you, the monkeys, and the coconuts. Now you bump your head, or a coconut falls from a tree, or a monkey throws it at you. All right, it hits you in the head, and there you are. You're hurt. Now, you want to be healed. What are you expecting God to do? How does He do that? How does He do that? How does He administer healing to you? Most people don't have a clue. In their minds, they're thinking in terms of, well, in the natural, a doctor comes along, medicine, stitches, and in a few weeks, it's gone. And praise God for that. So we take what we have learned about medical science and we apply it to God. Well, somehow, He closes it up. How does He do that? Well, I really don't know. But somehow He closes it up and it gets healed. Well, how does He do that? I don't know. Well, if you don't know, then what are you asking? I'm asking for God to heal me. How does He heal? I don't know. It's in the Word. It's His life. His life produces healing. It's not like you're walking around asking for Him to do something that's not already been done. Let's jump ahead a few points. By His stripes ye were healed. Okay? Now, understanding that it's God's life that changes a medical condition. Let's just, a negative medical condition. All right? It's God's life that changes that. Then the power of that life can change any condition in your body. Problem is, most Christians just don't believe that. I mean, even people that say they believe in healing, most don't seem to believe in this. They don't seem to grasp the fullness of what's happened in them and the fact that it's out of what's happened in them that healing manifests in our bodies. Now, let's take a look here again. Matthew 8:17, it talks about Matthew 8:17 and Isaiah 53:4-5. Now, we had that great breakdown of Isaiah 53:4-5. We went over it last week. Matthew 8:17, it talks about how Jesus took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And this is a quote from what Isaiah wrote in that prophecy. Now, this is undeniably true because it is in the Bible. Now, this is where a lot of people get messed up. They read things like this in Scripture, but then it's like their brain goes tilt because they see it in the Word, and it's a confrontation, see? The moment you see something in the Word, if it goes against what you've always believed, inside, there's a struggle, an internal struggle that takes place. Do I accept this or what Brother Smith has always taught me? Do I accept this or what I keep hearing on television? Do I accept this or what I've heard or read in all the books? What am I going to do? Because if I accept this, then I have to reject what I've always heard. If I reject what I've always heard, I have to sit back and wonder, how much else have I been taught wrong? Well, in Matthew 8:17, it says, He took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. You can't deny it because it's in the Word of God. It is true. Some people, again, we covered this before, but some people have said, well, that only applies to that specific situation. That can't be true. Because if that were true, that it only applied to that specific situation, then there would be no more healings recorded beyond Matthew 8:17. And there are tons of healings recorded beyond Matthew 8:17. Because in some of the situations where people came to be healed, it doesn't just say that, you know, Bob came to be healed and Jesus healed him. Susie came to be healed and Jesus healed her. It says all who came were healed. Now, we don't have, how many is all? 10, 20, 50, 100? Were there 1,000? We don't have a clue. See, this is one of the things. You know how there's been a lot of criticism leveled toward Benny Hinn because of sometimes how he waves his hand and miracles and healings take place and people say it's all fake? But you can criticize it all you want. It is my opinion that I cannot substantiate in Scripture. It is my opinion that this may well have been the same kind of thing that happened when Jesus was ministering to multitudes of people in the places where it says, and they were all healed. I believe it's possible He ministered to the masses that way at times. Can you imagine any of you who've ever spent any time ministering to people in prayer lines, do you have any idea how long it would take to minister to like 200 people in a prayer line? 500 people? What about 1,000 people? There is no way. There has to be another way of doing that. Well, anyhow, it says that He took and bore. It's in the Bible. You can't deny it. Well, nevertheless, a lot of Christians ask, if this is true, then why am I experiencing in my body what He is supposed to have taken? I think that's a fair question, don't you? Mm-hmm. And again, this brings up the inner struggle a lot of Christians have when it comes to reconciling healing with sickness and disease. If it's real, then how come I don't have it? Because after all, I'm God's favorite. So if healing were for today, I'd have it for sure. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have it for sure. So I don't understand this. If he took past tense and bore past tense, then help me understand why it is that I'm seeing and experiencing in my body the very thing that Scripture says he took and bore. How can I have in my body what Scripture says he's already taken? I don't understand this. Well, let's look here. Understanding how Jesus took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Yes, I know this goes against a lot of stuff that's been taught. I know this is a real challenge to our belief system. I know that. But if we don't get our belief system corrected with the Word of God, then a lot of people are going to continue struggling with sickness and disease, hoping God does something on their behalf, not understanding what He's already done. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 and 20 then. 21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For He, God, hath made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, this 21st verse summarizes what happened to us when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It kind of describes the process that took place. The source of death is sin. And the source of sin is a sin nature, meaning the acts of sin, the outward acts of sin. The source of that is a sin nature. Now, Jesus traded us His life for our death, or for our sin nature. Look at verse 21. He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. There's the trade. There's a book out there called The Great Exchange, and I even forget who wrote it. It might have been a Kenyan book. I don't remember. The Great Exchange. And what this book does is go through and identify what Jesus took from us and gave us in exchange. Well, this is one of the things. Our sin was laid upon Him so that we could receive the born-again life or that new nature. Now, our old sin nature could not produce life, but His righteous nature always produces life. Now, please let that sink in. It is impossible for the righteousness of God to produce anything other than life. It is the essence of life. It is life. It can't produce anything but life. Now, I want you to think with me, and let's just play what if. What if you could take your sick Aunt Susie to heaven right now? And she's on a hospital cot, hospital bed, and they've got the poles hooked up to the bed, all kinds of IVs and all this stuff, monitors, the whole thing. And there you are pushing this hospital bed. You're in heaven, and everybody's looking at you like, how did you get up here? So there you go, you're pushing this bed, and you're headed toward the throne. And boy, you can see the glow, man. And you get up there, and you're pushing this bed right up to the throne of God. Let me ask you something. How long do you think Aunt Susie would stay sick? I mean, Jesus, Jesus hadn't come down off the throne yet or anything to lay hands on her. How long do you think she'd stay sick? Some of you are like, is this a trick question, Brother Mark? I don't know. What do you think? The moment that that hospital bed and you both landed within 100 miles anywhere in heaven, the healing would have manifested instantly. And you wouldn't have had to push the bed. You and Aunt Susie would both be pushing that bed. Why is that? Because in heaven, there is no sickness, there is no disease. If you want to get a good glimpse of what exists in heaven, go back over and read in the book of Revelation. It says you don't even need the sun, because the light of God Himself, His glory, is what illuminates heaven. So the moment that you, I mean the instant that you and Aunt Susie step anywhere, in, I mean, you could be 10 million miles away from the throne. The instant that you step in that presence, the power of that life, the power of that righteousness, the power of that glory, that sickness, that disease, none of it can remain any longer. And instantly, Aunt Susie's healed, and so are you of things you didn't even know you had. Say, boy, I feel pretty good up here now. Guess what is in you? He's made Jesus to be our sin so that we could be made the righteousness of God in Him. The power of that righteousness, the power of that glory, the power of that life is what is in you. Now, where you sit right now in that chair. Those of you listening to this by tape, wherever you are, I don't care if you're in a prison cell, the power of that life is in you now. Right now, it's in you. Now, the reason this sounds like such an abstract concept is because generally in the body of Christ, this is not taught. We really aren't presented with the fullness of what's happened to us. All we think is, well, sin's washed away, go to heaven. Well, praise God for that. But you've got to understand something has changed on the inside. Because if the something hadn't changed on the inside, you would be no different than the Amalekites who attacked Israel. You say, oh no, those were bad people. So is Israel. They had a sin nature. You see what I'm saying? They all had a sin. That's why the law was given. To help them see they had a sin nature. And so, we're born again. That's why, you know, Nicodemus, he's trying to catch on to this thing, and Jesus is trying to get across to him. Nicodemus, you've got to have a change on the inside. And the change is a spiritual change. So now that your body has become the temple of God's life, you are housing healing power. I mean, it's power for everything else, but we're talking about healing in this course. The power for healing exists in you. It's not something you have to run to God and ask, would you please do this? Because my question to you then would be, how much of God's life did He not give you that you're asking Him to give you so that you can be healed? It's already in there. Now, let's keep going here in this. The old nature, the old sin nature could not produce life. It's death. But his righteous nature always produces life. It can't produce anything else. The sin nature and death actually supports sickness and infirmity because it cannot reverse the process. As long as you've got a dead sin nature on the inside of you, there's no life that can come out of it to reverse that process in your body. We now have the life of God. Again, we will never be deity. And I've said that so many times, but I have to keep saying it over and over again because you never know what some people are going to think, especially if these tapes get passed around. You mean, Brother Martin, there are people in the class that might bootleg these tapes and pass them to friends? Well, I don't know. However, it's possible things like that might have happened somewhere along the line. So we'll never be deity, but we have His life. Now, the thing that supported affliction is gone. Now, stop for a moment. Let me explain this. The sin nature and death actually support sickness and infirmity because it can't reverse the process. If it can't reverse the process, it becomes a support for the sickness and disease because it can't do anything to get rid of it. You see what I'm saying? But once the sin nature is removed, the very thing in you, your spirit, your dead sin nature spirit that was in you, that actually was a type of support system for sickness. And remember, the wages of sin is death. It was actually a type of support system for sickness and affliction. Once that's been removed, then the internal spiritual support system for sickness and disease has been completely removed. And it doesn't matter, some people say, well, you're sick, you're diseased and all that because you committed sin. No, man, forget about that for the moment. We're talking about your spiritual condition. And if your spiritual condition is death, how in the world can it produce healing? It can't. It can't support healing. It can't produce healing. It is a dead old sin nature and it needs to be removed. But you ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. You're born again. It is removed. So the spiritual thing that was actually a type of support system for sickness and disease has been removed. It's gone. It's gone. Now, that which drives out, that should be out, it says out, that which drives out affliction is now in us. Or, in other words, the life of God that we've received from Jesus Christ, that is the power for healing, that now is in us. That which drives out affliction is now in us. Jesus replaced our sin nature with His own. He has given us the resources, which is spiritual life. He's given us the resources needed to produce healing. The body is still deteriorating because it has not yet been glorified, but it doesn't have to be racked with pain, sickness, disease, and deformity along the way. And this is where a lot of Christians get so goofy on this stuff. Well, I guess this is just the cross that I have to bear. No, sickness and disease is not the cross that you have to bear. Short and sweet of it, the cross you have to bear is fulfilling the will of God in your life. All right, but sickness and disease, deformities, you know, things wrong with your body, that's not the cross that you have to bear. But people teach that kind of stuff. But when you understand what happened when you got born again, when you understand the change that took place, you understand that the power of that life drives out sickness and disease. It changes conditions in your body. Remember, all you have to do is go back and take a look in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and see how Jesus was ministering. Remember, it talks about how the Father hath life in Himself. He'd given to the Son to have life in Himself. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, it talks about how that in the beginning was the Word, and Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. He goes around ministering, doing the will of God. See, whenever you get in the presence of the fullness and the power of the life of God, nothing that is anti-life can remain. It's impossible for that. Sickness, disease, affliction, infirmity is all anti-life. It is not conducive to life. And Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Not just a matter of being born again, but having the power of born again released against your physical bodies so that you could live in this life in a way that's conducive to the spread of the gospel. Because as long as you're laid up and sick and full of maladies and diseases, you're not going to be an effective witness. It's hard to stand up and testify about how that, you know, it's hard to be mobile when you've got a whole lot of stuff going on, and God does not want that in your body. So the very thing which drives out affliction is now in us. Jesus replaced our sin nature with His own. He's given us the resources, which is spiritual life. And that's what's necessary to produce healing. Not some kind of magic potion, not some kind of abracadabra or anything like that. It is the very life, the very essence, the very nature of God. Now, unless we minister life to our bodies, it may well die from afflictions. And this is what it's all about. See, if you begin to equate healing with the life of God and start thinking in terms of when you're believing for healing, what you're believing is for the life of God to touch a part of your body, or somebody else's body, for all that matters. We'll get into administering healing next week. But when you begin to look at this from the perspective of healing is not a separate issue from being born again, healing goes along with being born again. So the life that you've received from God through faith in Jesus Christ, the power of that life, Romans 8:11, is the power that quickens your mortal bodies. Healing for any sickness or infirmity is available without the use of anything related to medical science. Say, oh, Brother Martin, there you go, telling us we're not supposed to go to doctors. Do you see that in here? Anybody see that written in there? No. What I said is, look at it again, healing for any sickness or infirmity is available without the use of anything related to medical science. Again, let's go back out to our desert island. I know of no monkeys which know how to minister healing to people. I don't know of any chimpanzees that have been to med school. So if I'm out there all alone and something happens, what am I going to do? What if I need help? If something's happened to my body, what am I going to do? Well, I'm just going to have to trust God. Why? Well, He's my only hope now. But if you were back home, you'd have something else to hope in. Well, no, Brother Martin, that's not what I meant. Yeah, it is, and you know that's what you meant. In other words, when the chips are down, that's when you decide to try and figure out what it is God does for you so that you can be healed. But whether you accept what's in this Word or whether you don't, it won't change the fact that the life in you that came from God is healing power. So therefore, if you start tapping into this life now, the potential is there that you're not going to need to go to the doctor. Now, if anybody leaves here and says, that Brother Martin, he's against doctors, he's against medicine, I will pass this tape out because I did not say that. I said the potential is there. And that's so very, very important for us to understand. the potential is there for us to live without the need of any kind of medical science. Just because Christians experience afflictions does not mean that healing is not for today or that God no longer heals. And see, this is where a lot of people get messed up. Well, you know, if it was God's will, then I'd have it. If it was God's will, it would manifest. If that's what God wanted for me, it would already have happened. And on it goes. Well, what makes you think it didn't happen? Again, what's the Word say? God sent His Word, healed them, delivered them from their destructions. By His stripes you were healed. Jesus took our infirmities, bore our sicknesses. I mean, if we keep going back to the Word to find out what's been made available. Listen, you've got to understand, Satan has really done a good job on the body of Christ. Because our entire belief system has been so contorted from what God wants us to believe. And see, we can sit back, and in our pride and our arrogance, we think we already understand about healing. We think we already understand it because we think in terms of a sovereign God. And when He decides to move, this will happen. What happened with Jesus, though? Through Him, what have we received? Most people, quite frankly, don't know. And they think that healing is a separate work that God has to do for you after you get born again. In other words, it's like God's got the healing bucket up in heaven. Now, you've already dipped into the born-again bucket. But you're going to have to believe Him separately for the healing bucket. Because that's something totally different, unrelated to being born again. No connection whatsoever. Healing's a totally separate issue. Now, even the people that don't believe in "if it be thy will" kind of prayers, their lifestyle demonstrates a belief system that healing is a separate work. But when you go back to the Word and begin to examine what's happened through Jesus Christ, you can't separate healing from born again because it all goes back to that same life. Now, God operates through His life, not a sin nature. That seems rather simple. But a lot of people don't seem to understand that. God operates through His life. God operates through His life. He operates through His life. So if you're going to God and you're saying, "Oh God, I want healing. Would you please heal my body?" He operates through His life. What part of His life has He not given you? How much has He held back? What has He chosen not to touch you with? It says down here, the main reason many Christians do not understand healing is because they really do not understand what happens when they're born again. And that's really what it comes down to. Because if you understand what really took place when you were born again, and again, a lot of this, go back to Genesis and find out God's original plan, original intention. Jesus is called the second Adam. What's been made available to us? What did we receive through Jesus? But when you take the time to go through the Word of God, you begin to examine these things and you begin to get, you know, very intense in finding out what's been made available to you. God does not have a separate healing system in heaven, meaning there's not healing life and born again life. It's life. God is life. It's all one. You can't separate God from healing. You can't separate Him from peace. You can't separate Him from born again. You can't separate Him from deliverance. You can't separate Him from any of these things. It's a total package deal. It's just how much you understand about what you've received. Now, let's use a natural analogy. Let's say you went out and you bought a new Cadillac, fully loaded, all the bells and whistles. And you're driving around. And you pull back into the dealership. And you honk the horn because you figured out where it was. Here comes the mechanic. And you open the door and you say, "Hey, I paid $50,000 of my money for this car. And I want to know how come it is there's nothing on the door to roll the window down with." "You let the window crank off. I want my money back, bless God." Now the mechanic, who knows what's going through his mind, and if he's not sanctified, what words he'd like to say to you, he reaches over and he pushes this little button on the door. And then all of a sudden, down goes the window. And you say, "Whoa, well, I didn't know that was there." And he says, "Yeah, that's how the windows go down. It's also how they go up."
Watch. Put your head right here. See? Up and down. All the windows work this way. Wow. That's cool. But you know, I got another complaint. It's hot in this car. I mean, down windows, that's going to be nice, but it gets hot in this car. He says, well, you see the little AC on the dash? Yeah, I wonder what that meant. That means air conditioning. Push that little button right there, and you're going to feel cold. You see what I'm saying? When you bought the Cadillac, it came with everything. But if you don't know what it does, then you won't know what to do with it. All you know is put the key in, turn it on, and go from here to there and back. Same thing it is with being born again. If you don't know what came with being born again, then the only thing you're going to look forward to is going to heaven. But when you begin to get into the owner's manual of what born again is all about, and you're willing to take a lot of the traditions, all right, a Cadillac. You're not going to take a Cadillac to a Ford mechanic, right? You're going to take it to a GM mechanic, to a Cadillac mechanic. There's somebody who authored this, and they know what it means. And if you make a decision to take what the Ford mechanic has told you about the Cadillac owner's manual, you see what you get the analogy? If you take the time to get in this thing for yourself and allow the author of this to help you out, and you begin asking questions like, well, bless God, my body sure has been sick a whole lot here. I just don't understand what's going on. You care to tell me, Holy Ghost? And if you're willing to receive from Him, which includes taking the traditions you've heard from others and tossing them out the window after you've rolled it down, He's going to be able to clarify a whole lot of this stuff for you. If you don't know what happened, the fullness of what happened when you got born again, then you're not going to know what came with that born-again life. One of the things that came with that born-again life is healing, whether you're full of the Holy Ghost or not. Now listen closely. It isn't the Holy Ghost that brings your healing. It is the life of God in you that produces your healing. Now the Holy Ghost will help you understand it. But that life in you is what produces the healing. Now, to jump ahead real briefly, next week we're going to be taking a look at administering healing, meaning we're going to be taking a look at how to get that life in us to flow through us, to touch this body and the people that we minister to. How do we get that life to flow through us? Lay on hands. How do we get this to happen? We're going to look at that next week when we come together. But let's keep walking through some of this, through this here. The next page, it starts off with hindering healing. Okay, yeah. You are going to have to meditate on this. Because I know that I have presented tonight a totally different concept as far as healing is concerned. Yes, if you... Okay. You already know what you're going to hear if you go to others. Because you've already heard the teaching about healing. So you already know what the answer is going to be. What I am saying to you tonight is this. You've heard it from me. You have it in writing. You have Scripture. Go home. Meditate on this. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Look these verses up yourself. And there are a lot of other verses that we could have used related to this. Especially if just read what Paul wrote. That's going to help you out a lot. Pray in tongues and let the Holy Ghost help you to understand this. Because it's not a matter of us trying to get God to do something. It's a matter of understanding what's already happened for us. He took and He bore because He took our sin nature and replaced it with life nature. That's how He took and bore. So the healing, by His stripes, you were healed. The healing is already there. It's already in there. Your body may not be experiencing the manifestation of it, but what we now have to do is figure out how to tap into that life so that it is released against our body
to correct a defective situation, which could be a cold, could be a twisted body part or whatever it would be. The life of God in you changes these things. Now, let's begin talking about hindering our healing. Healing. It is God's will. It is for today. It has been provided. It is for everyone. But it can be hindered. Christians can hinder healing, then turn around and believe it isn't God's will for today, and all these other kind of doctrines that come up. And if we do not hinder healing, healing will come. Please let that sink in. If you don't hinder healing, healing will come. Now, this is where it can get kind of testy, because a lot of people, Christians, it's just another challenge to our belief system. Generally speaking, nobody wants to admit or acknowledge any responsibility in this. We want to throw it all back over onto God. We want to make it His responsibility to see to it that healing manifests in our body. Well, He assumed that responsibility. He really did. That's why the Bible says, by His stripes, ye were healed. God assumed that responsibility. And He made the provision for it. But if you don't understand that, then you're going to be expecting Him to do something more than what He has already done for us through Jesus Christ. But when you begin to understand what He did for us through Jesus Christ, then you're going to begin to understand He's already made that provision. So to go and ask Him for more would be like asking Him to do something more than the blood of Jesus and the cross and so forth about sin. Well, I know what it says in the Bible. I know, God, what You've done. I thank You for Jesus, the blood, the cross, and all this other. However, I still need to be forgiven for such and such sin. Meaning the cross isn't good enough. Jesus' death isn't good enough. The blood isn't good enough. You've got to do something more. And Paul kind of hinted at that, or over there where it talks about, crucifying Him again and things like that. It's like, no, Jesus is the final sacrifice, what the Bible tells us. Well, along with that, we can hinder healing. We don't like to think in terms, I'm not doing anything to hinder healing. Well, we're going to look at some of the things that could hinder healing just as soon as we come back from our break. Praise the Lord.